The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and T-Mac.
Big news of the day, obviously, is that Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy has been arrested by Arapahoe County Sheriff deputies. The Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office has issued a statement providing some information on what's transpiring, what's going down. There's a lot of legal ease in that. We thought we would bring in Dan Jacobs, our resident legal expert, the judge Dan Jacobs, and see if he can break it down for us. Dan, we appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Yes, and I would say, though, the big story of the day is actually from last segment where James Merrillat is so clearly right on an issue and Tyler is so clearly wrong in regard to the Avs. But let's get into this issue.
Okay.
That's just so rare, you know, that would be a bigger story than this.
Because,
But we can maybe talk about that later. This Jerry Jeudy thing is certainly a surprising story. Anytime a Broncos player is arrested and sitting in a jail cell, that's a very surprising and big story. So, yes, we can talk about that. So what we are seeing right now from the Arapahoe County Sheriff's press release is that, yes, Jerry Jeudy is being held. And so everybody wants to know, what does that mean? Criminal tampering charges. And the domestic, what everybody's jumping out is domestic violence. Well, what we have to understand is this is not a charge of violence to a person here. So if we can take a step back, that is not what is being alleged here. In Colorado, what we have was called a domestic violence enhancer that is attached to any crime that takes place and you're in an intimate relationship with a person, right? So in this case, it's criminal tampering, which can mean an infinite possibility of things. I kicked your car. I took your cell phone and I threw it down, or I did anything. The charge specifically is, it could mean anything, but the elements of criminal tampering, the intent to annoy, inconvenience your property, the property of another, tamper, things like that, with the property of another. And if that person who owns that property you happen to be in an intimate relationship with, then they're going to attach a domestic violence enhancer to that, right? But that doesn't mean you were violent to that person. So I want people to understand that. That doesn't mean that Jerry Jeudy physically hurt this person that he was in a relationship with, guys.
Okay. So, which makes sense to me. Let me back up to the criminal tampering thing really quick, because I hear criminal tampering and, you know, I immediately go toward, okay, there was some sort of evidence involved and we're trying to mess with it and get rid of it or whatever the case may be. What does criminal tampering mean? What would be what could be an example of that, Dan?
I got mad. We were arguing and I kicked your car.
Okay.
I ripped some, there's something in the room. I took your cell phone and I threw it across the room. Literally anything, your property, by the way, this is a crime that can be charged anyway, right? You can convict anybody of the crime of criminal tampering if you really wanted to, because it's so broad. I will literally read it to you. Tampering with the property of another with the intent to annoy, inconvenience, or interrupt the utility service of another is criminal tampering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, annoy or intent to annoy or inconvenience. Well, what does that mean? Like, you guys probably do that to each other or during the course of a show, probably 5 or 10 times, right? Like, so if you did that to somebody's pen, that literally could be a misdemeanor if you really wanted to charge it a certain way. Now, obviously, in this case, I'm sure it rose to the level where the police were called and then they came out and made a charging decision or an arrest decision. So I'm sure something somewhat serious happened here, but this was a misdemeanor. And just, in Colorado, if people are in an intimate relationship, police are not supposed to. Now, with Von Miller, he got a special, pass, which he should not have gotten. But the way the law is written, the police are not supposed to have any choice in the matter. They are supposed to arrest first and ask questions later. It is mandatory in a domestic situation. There is no discretion. Jerry Jeudy had no choice but to be arrested. So he had to be arrested in this case because they were in an intimate relationship.
Dad, there's another line in there that was put out by the Arapahoe Sheriff Department that seems relatively serious when you read it on the surface, but I guess it's my understanding this is more or less standard procedure. It says he is on a no bond hold. Break down, what does that mean? To me, that sounds serious, but I guess I'm understanding that that's relatively normal. What does that mean?
Well, it's serious if you're in that situation, because a lot of times people that don't have experience in the system, you know, that aren't arrested very often, they go to jail. It's very serious for them because that means they're stuck in jail until they can get in front of a judge. But
until he can get in front of a judge. So that Jerry Jeudy will be there until he can get in front of a judge.
Right, because normally in routine situations, if you're charged with a misdemeanor, certain misdemeanors, that you can just bond out, right? They'll just say, all right, here's the bond schedule. If you can pay this, you're out. You don't even have to be in front of a judge because the crime isn't considered that serious. However, in domestic violence situations, which again, I want listeners to understand, that doesn't mean he was violent to whoever this person is. It just means it has this attachment to it. And because of that, that means he has to get in front of a judge. And then the judge, and in this case, a judge will set bond, and this is a misdemeanor, so it's not going to be like $50,000 probably. It'll be a reasonable bond, and he'll get out. It'll get out as soon as he can get in front of a judge. If not today, it'll probably be definitely tomorrow.
Thanks to our listeners in Golden for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Dan, we are seeing some reports that part of the reason he has to see a judge before he can be released is potentially there could be restraining order type of situation to it. Is that typically the case, or is that just people connecting dots here that maybe shouldn't be connected?
Well, typically, anytime there's a domestic violence enhancer, there's an automatic restraining order. Again, but that's not, because he was, you know, this is Jerry Jeudy, and there's anything out of the ordinary there. It's automatic per statute. There's also victims. There's all sorts of things in the statute that has to be complied with, but that's why the no hold bond is in place to begin with, right? But it's meant to be because of the domestic violence situation that a judge has to be, you have to go before the judge, and the judge has to be able to look at the case and say, okay, I've now weighed all the factors. And having weighed all the factors, and, you know, oftentimes there's victims' rights compliance and things like that, he said, okay, now I'm going to set bond, and the bond is this.
Dan, you said that he'll have to wait to see the judge, but it's 3:10 right now, almost, 3:09 right now. Do you think that he will see a judge today?
I'm guessing he probably won't unless he was able to, like if he has Harvey on speed dial, yes, the answer is yes. If he doesn't have a really good lawyer that's going to be able to fast-track it, then I would say no, but he'll probably see one probably tomorrow.
Dan, I know every case is different, and there are all sorts of different circumstances to it, but when you look at it, it's second-degree criminal tampering. It's a misdemeanor. It's something that's kind of in that classification. What's the usual punishment? Is it probation?
Good question.
Jail time? Like, what's the normal for something in that realm?
So, I don't know any circumstances or facts of this case, but I can almost guarantee you any lawyer, and again, if he hires somebody, Harvey's the best, of course, but if he gets somebody like that, and again, assuming that he's not innocent, he's innocent until proven guilty, but if he were to take a plea, any good lawyer would get him what's called a deferred sentence, where he would enter a plea agreement where he would go on to a probation, where he would do some community service. He would meet with a probation officer. He would, you know, maybe get some sort of treatment, maybe something like that, go through some, you know, classes, maybe some domestic violence classes or some anger management. And if you were able, you know, after a year, complete all the terms of that, then this case would be dismissed and it would be basically expunged from his record as if it never happened. That would be the best case scenario if he didn't go to trial and be found completely innocent. Now, he could always do that. Like, you know, Brandon Marshall won some cases, right, with Harvey representing him. But that would be, you know, the likely scenario, I would say, because I'm not aware of him having any other, you know, if this is a first offense for him, which I think it is, because I don't remember anything coming up in his draft profiles or anything like that. So for a first offense, misdemeanor, I would expect with, you know, his means for him to be able to get a deferred sentence. And if he were able to comply with that, then he would actually be able to have this dismissed after a year of being, you know, compliant. And it would be actually, you can say that never happened.
All right, Dan, we appreciate all the time here. You've done a great job of making this simple enough for us to understand. My final question for you would be, in a situation like this, would you expect the details to come out, or will his lawyer be able to block that information from hitting the public?
It certainly should try. Now, it also depends on the reporting. Like you can't close the courtroom. So, like, okay. ENAC used to go for certain, I mean, reporters can go to the courtroom. Like,
so it'll probably come out then.
I would expect the details to come out, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Dan, we appreciate it. We were getting the information, you know, in real time and trying to decipher it. There's some terminology in there that certainly didn't make perfect sense to us, and we didn't want to, you know, interpret it the wrong way. So we appreciate you coming on and setting us straight and clarifying everything, especially at a moment's notice.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks.
All right. There he goes, Dan Jacobs. Now, that did make sense to me, Tyler. So it's the second-degree criminal tampering. It's basically he did something with somebody else's property. That someone else was someone he was in a relationship with, so therefore there's the domestic violence enhancer, and he's being held because of the domestic violence enhancer. There's a judge has to look at it before you're released to see if a restraining order needs to be in place.
Yeah. Sounds like we're going to find out. It sounds like at some point this will have to be in front of a judge, which means that reporters could show up and hear what the specifics were. We're still in a really weird gray area because, you know, James, it could be something as simple as you did something because you were mad and you broke a glass. I don't know. You broke a window. You kicked a car.
You broke a cell phone.
You broke a cell phone, right? And maybe that is completely independent of, and that's the only thing that happened. Maybe you were just mad about something and you did something like that, but it turns into domestic because of it. Or, you know, on the scarier side, there could be an incident that led to, you know, picking up a phone and preventing them from calling the police or something along those lines. So, you know, just still so much that we don't know. It seems like there's a lot of gray area in here. The misdemeanor part of it makes me feel after hearing Dan Jacobs speak that, well, I guess we shouldn't speculate at all on what's going to happen from it, but it just seems like it's serious in nature, but not necessarily meaning he put his hands on somebody.
Right, right. And I do think, because you're right, it could be, you know, a piece to something bigger and worse. Therefore, you can't just dismiss it and act like, it's nothing. It's a misdemeanor. Don't worry about it. But I think to be fair to Jerry Judy, right, you see the domestic violence enhancer on there, and I think our minds all go to what you're just talking about, of putting your hands on somebody, and Dan was quick to point out a couple of times there that does not mean that. It just means that...
It could just mean that it was their property, that somebody that you're in a relationship with, that you live with, that whatever. It was their property that you damaged their property, right?
Right.
It could be that.
So we definitely more will come out. We need to get that information to kind of know on the scale where it goes, but we certainly don't want to dismiss it as, hey, it's no big deal, or we don't want
bottom line, no matter what, it's a big deal. So I'm not saying it's a big deal in terms of the consequences for Jerry Judy himself, but it's a big deal that Jerry Judy in his third year and yesterday and the day before that, this is unrelated to this situation, but I said that this is Jerry Judy's final opportunity. If he wants to be a superstar in the NFL this year, has to happen now. He might be able to play 8 or 10 years in the NFL as a backup rotational wide receiver, but if he ever wants to be a superstar, this is the final year, because after 3 years, the NFL is going to make an opinion of you, right? And so this is a big deal because it goes into all of that for Russell Wilson. Does that affect his opinion? Does that affect his trust? Does it create any time away maybe during training camp because of a trial, because of whatever.
Is there a suspension involved?
Correct. There's a million things. So it is a big deal no matter what. It could be a big deal because of the incident. It also could just be a big deal for him if it affects his career, because honestly, James, I really do firmly believe this is his last chance to ever be a superstar in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think he'll be on the roster in 2023.
Yes.
But at that point, if he has another down year, disappointing year this year, I think the Broncos will start looking for other options, right? And that'll be whoever they bring in as another option will be the person that will be featured and will get opportunities. And Jerry Jeudy's chance to be the number one wide receiver here and really anywhere, I don't know that it'll be gone, but boy, it'll be significantly decreased. Because how many receivers go 3 or 4 years where they're not that guy and then suddenly turn into one?
Yep.
Off the top of my head, I'm having a hard time coming up with an example. So it is a make or break season for him on the field, and anything off the field that can be, you know, a distraction, for lack of a better term, certainly isn't good. And being in the news for the wrong things is a distraction by definition.
Mm-hmm. You know, your distraction is only a distraction if it's bigger than your value on the football field. And that sounds crazy, and I don't mean to dismiss anything. That's just the sad reality of the NFL. And my point is, guys get a lot of opportunities when they're superstars. A lot. Antonio Brown, how many opportunities did that guy get, right? Millions. Tens, 20s. I mean, I don't know how many chances that guy got of very, very serious situations. And he kept getting opportunity after opportunity, and he continued to be a superstar in the NFL because he was a superstar. But if you're not a superstar and you have a singular distraction, that could be the end for you, maybe on your team, maybe it's a more long-term effect, but maybe it's just a trust from the new coach, from your new quarterback. It could have a lot of impact. So unfortunately for Jerry Jeudy, this is a huge deal for him. Number one, because it's got legal consequences. So I'm not dismissing that at all. I'm just talking about the football side of it. This is a huge deal because, unfortunately, Jerry Jeudy has not built up the caveat on the football field where he can overcome distractions because of the talent that he's got. He hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, he's heading into a prove-it type of a season,
yeah,
where you look at that class, right, and he was the best receiver in the best wide receiver class of all time.
Supposed to be.
I think was hyperbolic because every
turns
year
turns out
like,
the last couple of years
receivers.
We've had some good wide receiver classes.
Yeah, but and he wasn't even the first receiver picked. That was Henry Ruggs. But going into the draft, everybody was saying Jerry Jeudy's the top of the heap here. The fact that he's coming off a season, and I get it. The Broncos had quarterback issues, and they had offensive coordinator issues, and they ran an offense where they went out there and, hey, if we can just burn some clock and not turn it over and punt at the end of this drive, they almost acted like that was a victory for them. So opportunities were limited, but to come off a season in which you had zero touchdown catches in today's NFL as a featured receiver, as a guy who's, you know, when healthy, out there every single week and a part of the game plan is remarkable. So to say he's heading into a prove it season,
that's just a fact.
Overly harsh at all.
I want to address somebody on the text line that says, guys, I understand that this is news, but you're making an awfully big deal out of something that looks to be insignificant. Well, a couple things here. Number one, we don't know if it's a big deal or not a big deal what happened. We have no clue what happened. So I have no idea if it was a violent situation, if it was something relatively innocent. I have no clue what the incident is. But I do know this. It is a big deal for his football career. Because I'm telling you, when you are not a superstar, any distraction that happens off the field, it will affect you. I was an undrafted guy. If I had something go on, guess what? Real easy to get rid of me. Now, they wouldn't get rid of Jerry Jeudy because of this, but it certainly could influence a new coach's opinion. It certainly could influence a brand new quarterback's opinion. It could influence the trust that they've got in you. So to say that we're turning this into a big deal when it's not, that's just not true. I have no clue what actually happened in the legal incident. No clue. And maybe it was a big deal, maybe it was not. Bottom line is, he's arrested, he's in jail, and he's not getting out until he sees a judge.
Well, and, you know, trust is a real easy thing to lose and a very difficult thing to gain, right? So if you lose that with your new head coach, if you lose that with your new quarterback, boy, that's tough to get it back.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is going to cause that. at all.
No, but it could be the start of it.
But
right?
if you
had a question mark in the back of your mind about somebody already, and you watched the film, and you were wondering, is he just a good route runner? Is he a good football player? Hey, you hardly know the guy yet, right? And then all of a sudden you've got something like this pop up. That's only human nature to let that influence your opinion of the guy.
Yeah. No,
that's human nature.
You can't just block it out, right? It's sort of like in a trial when they tell the jury to disregard something that was just said. Well, you can't unhear it, right? If you're on the jury, you heard what was said. And so it's just human nature. So I think if you're Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, does this make you, you're just going to write off Jerry Jeudy? No, of course not.
No.
But is it one of those things that if a couple more happen, something goes awry during camp, you know, whatever, it's just like, it's more evidence that might make him lose that trust.
You can never make another first impression, right? And he's already made a first impression on the coaching staff. They know him. They've gotten to know him by now. He already knows Russell Wilson. He went out of his way, by the way. You know, when Russell had his first passing camp and Jerry wasn't able to attend because he had the birth of a child, Jerry went out of his way to fly out to San Diego to have a one-on-one private session with Russell Wilson. That was cool, right? Like he made a good impression with Russell Wilson. He proved that he cared. He went out there even when other people were not there. So I'm not saying this is the first impression, but it's still an early impression.
Yeah, and it's certainly not a positive one by any means. So we appreciate Dan Jacobs joining us, providing some clarification on the charges that went down against Jerry Jeudy today at the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office. All right, so Nikola Jokic, last night, Tyler, he was officially awarded his second consecutive MVP. What did the voting numbers look like? We'll take a look at that coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
My quarterback.
All right, Tyler. So I heard you and Matt Smith talking yesterday about news of the weird.
Yeah.
This first one.
I didn't know that was a thing, by the way.
I barely did. Yeah. Barely did.
Yeah.
Matt seems like he's, you know, spending a lot of time.
Yeah, he's in the weeds on the news of the weird.
Researching news of the weird. Yeah. This one may qualify.
Okay.
According to reports, T.O., Terrell Owens, has been traded in the fan-controlled league.
Okay.
He's already worn out his welcome somewhere in that league, too.
You know what's funny about this league? I happen to know a reasonable amount about it because this was the league that I seriously had an opportunity to go play another game in. And so I've learned about it. I got buddies that are involved. Marshawn Lynch owns a team. The way this league works is it's all fan controlled. So fans literally get to vote on plays. They get to vote on roster. They get to vote. The fans traded Terrell Owens. That's what just happened here in this situation.
Okay.
Weird deal. Terrell Owens is still relevant playing football. Not really. But you know what? I think he's got reasonable stats so far in the fan controlled football league.
Why would they want to trade him then?
I can't explain that,
James. I gave you
as much information as I'm aware of.
T.O. definitely still looks like he could play. I mean, he's in his mid to late 40s.
I doubt he could run. Like maybe in a straight line he could run. But, you know, as far as the muscles and all that, yeah, he looks good.
When it comes time to do sit-ups in the driveway, he could still pull that part of the job off. All right, what's next?
We are back, baby. We're back.
We are back.
That's
we
right.
are back.
So quarterback Jared Stidham has been traded from the New England Patriots to the Las Vegas Raiders. New backup for Derek Carr, I assume, with Marcus Mariota. down in Atlanta now?
Yeah. You know, this one's interesting to me. I'm not saying Jared Stidham is he's going to replace Derek Carr. No, I'm definitely not saying that. Derek Carr will be the starter. But it is interesting on the surface because anybody that's been listening to the show knows that I've been pointing out how bad of a deal Derek Carr signed. It was a dangerous precedent what he signed. Derek Carr signed a deal that he got an extension. First off, it's not even that much money in quarterback terms, but he has no dollars guaranteed for the next year. So meaning after this season ends, the Las Vegas Raiders could cut Derek Carr before the new contract ever starts, and they would never have to pay him a single dime of it.
Okay.
And I think 100% that was on purpose by Josh McDaniels because he was trying to be like, hey, Derek, sign this new deal. We love you. We're going to give you new money. But really, Josh McDaniels was giving himself a way out, and Derek Carr doesn't realize that he made a deal with the devil. Honestly, Jared Stidham, not saying he's going to replace Derek Carr, but that is the line that it could go down. If Derek Carr doesn't have a good season, Derek Carr won't see another dollar of that contract extension.
He's a bit of an insurance policy.
Yeah.
Right? So if you get to the end of the year and Derek Carr doesn't have the kind of season that would warrant that kind of a contract, doesn't mean he has to have a terrible year where you just look at it and say, do we really want to pay this guy
that amount of money? Well, and what do we know about the Patriots guys? They like Patriots guys.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels brought in one of his quarterbacks. He brought in a guy that he's been around. I don't think it's insane to think that Jared Stidham could low-key, without any headlines, be in a competition with Derek Carr.
This year?
No headlines. Nobody's going to acknowledge it. Nobody's going to tell you that there's a competition going on. But behind the scenes, Josh McDaniels has got a competition going on in his mind.
Wow. I just look at it as, you know, because they would have to cut him after the season before the league year started, right? Which is always
next year, mid-March. Next year.
Yeah.
So you go through this season, the full season, they could cut him before the new league year in March, right?
Right. So I look at this, though, as you get to that point, again, let's say Derek Carr has a season that's a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10, and Josh McDaniels says, we don't want to pay this guy elite type of money. Let's go in a different direction. You have to make that decision before free agency starts, certainly before the draft starts. This at least puts somebody on his roster where he's like, man, if we totally whiff in free agency in the draft,
somebody that he trusts,
we got somebody for 2023, but you think he might be in the running for 2022.
Nobody will admit it, but wow. I do think that that's going to be happening behind closed doors.
Wow. All right, what we got next?
I'm going to need some whiskey glasses.
We know that D-Mac went to Nashville.
Yes.
And became a bit of a country music fan. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
We'll see how long that lasts, by the way.
Look, I followed him on Twitter. He was enjoying his night on Broadway.
He was having a good time.
Music Row was
the whole world knows he was having a good time.
Yes. Borderline of like, I saw a few tweets, people saying, boy, you need Tyler there to make sure you get home. The thought did run through my head. I was having thoughts. Was that Cleveland?
That was Cleveland.
Behind the vending machine?
I put him to bed, and then he ran out of his room and hid behind a vending machine.
One of the all-time great stories. It felt like kind of one of those nights, but it wasn't just D-Mac that is a country music fan or became one. Avs head coach Jared Bednar is also a country music fan, particularly. That's why we're playing Whiskey Glasses. Morgan Wallen, fan of Hardy, kind of the new breed of country stars, as well as some older country artist. Does it surprise you Jared Bednar is a country music fan?
I don't know. I don't care. This was 100% a forced story by Kevin Kistner to just some way, somehow, put a country music story in there. I mean, what's the conversation here? Jared Bednar likes country music? What am I supposed to say to that, Kevin?
No, what? Richie sent in the group chat.
Huh? Well, I mean, what am I supposed to say to that?
Well, he doesn't strike me as a country music fan.
What does he strike you as? Oh, okay, there's the conversation. What does he strike you
as? He strikes me as the kind of guy who would listen to, like, some Bach or some Beethoven and just kind of chill.
A little bit.
Do you watch Better Call Saul?
I gave up on it.
Okay, there are parts where it's a little slow.
It's going on for a long time.
It goes on and on and on. But in the new season, not to give anything away, but Howard, kind of the big money lawyer that worked at the firm that his brother was at, he's driving around his car, and he's driving, and he listens to all the, you know, fancy orchestra, classical music.
Okay.
Jared Bednar strikes me as that guy.
Yeah, he's kind of classy. He's got that James Bond vibe going on, right? He's hanging out at the classy joints.
Has had a bad hair day in 28 years.
Kind of like you.
Right. So that surprises me that he's, you know, jamming out to Morgan Wallen. Hey, real quick, before we get out of here for this segment, Did you see the voting and the numbers for MVP? Nikola Jokic, obviously, won the award back-to-back years. Got by far the most first-place votes. He got 65.
Joel Embiid won easily.
He won easily.
It wasn't even close.
No, this wasn't, hey, one or two votes swayed it. It was maybe not Reagan in 84 over Mondale, but it was kind of a landslide.
Yeah.
There were some interesting things here, though. There was two people who had Nikola Jokic fourth on their ballot.
I'm sorry, fourth?
You can make an argument that he shouldn't have won it, right? You can
maybe, but there were only 26 people that made that argument. Only 26 people that did that.
Joel Embiid had a great, great year. He averaged 30 points a game. If you wanted to vote for him and put Jokic second, I'm not going to argue with you about it because I get it. Yeah. But I'm going to argue with you.
Fourth place?
There was also one.
That's a personal vendetta.
Yes. For sure. There was also one person who gave LeBron James a fifth place vote. Didn't they miss the postseason?
Zero first place, zero second, zero third, zero fourth, but he got one fifth place vote.
One fifth place vote. But yeah, it was a landslide, and we'll get into it as the show goes on. I thought the reaction by the TNT guys on the pregame show yesterday was. It was a little bit puzzling, a little bit off-putting. I'll be curious to get your thoughts on it. But Nikola Jokic wins second consecutive MVP, and it wasn't particularly close. All right, Pro Football Focus has come out with a list of the most underrated player on every team. Who did they name for the Broncos? We'll answer that question coming up next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
James Marlowe from DenverFan.com filling in for DMAC. Tyler Palumbus is here. Tyler, real quick, just to reset on what has been a busy news day. Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy has been arrested by Arapahoe County, the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Office. Our own Zach Bye was the first to report it. It was second-degree criminal tampering with a domestic violence enhancer.
Mm-hmm.
We had Dan Jacobs on. He broke that down. We'll continue to provide updates. As the day goes on, it does sound as though Jeudy will spend the night in jail. We'll give you more information as it comes down. Byron Allen, when his group was revealed to be one of the five finalists, we now know four of them to purchase the Broncos. That came out today. A little bit of good news. Darcy Kemper has been cleared to start game one for the Avs, whenever that is, whether it's against the Blues or the Wild, and whether it's over the weekend or start of next week. And we're not far away from the Broncos' 2022 schedule being released. It comes out tonight at 6 o'clock. We've had a few leaks. We will go through some of those as the show goes on. But first, Pro Football Focus came out with the list of every team, the most underrated player on their roster.
Yeah.
The player they listed for the Broncos, I kind of get and I kind of don't get. So it was Justin Simmons.
That's an interesting one.
It's interesting because it's like,
I mean, can you be underrated when you're one of the highest paid players in the entire NFL at your position?
I mean, I guess it goes into what's the definition of underrated, right? Because he's been a second team All Pro twice, 2019 and 2021.
Yeah,
he was elected to the Pro Bowl in 2020, so he's gotten the individual honors. You just mentioned it, one of the highest paid players at his position. When
for
he signed
moment,
the deal,
he was
number one.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So I don't have the list in front of me of where he ranks, but he's still in the top 5 or 10.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very
handsome
player.
Paid.
So from those criteria, he's not underrated. But I think if you went to Shreveport and said, "Hey, name the five best defensive players in football," I don't know that Justin Simmons should be mentioned, but is his name ever going to come up just in casual NFL circles? Well, given the fact that a year ago, the Broncos, until they got flexed into the Sunday night game late in the year at Kansas City, only had their only primetime game was a Thursday night against Cleveland.
Right.
They haven't been exactly, you know, a marquee team in recent years throughout Justin Simmons' career. So for as good as he is to the casual fan, maybe is a bit of an unknown, and in that regard, maybe he's a little bit underrated.
Yeah, I mean, I would have a little bit of beef with calling Justin Simmons underrated because his coaches value him, his GM values him, his GM paid him to be the highest paid safety in the NFL at the time that he got that contract. He's still very handsomely paid. His teammates absolutely value him. Underrated is the wrong word, but if you rephrase that and you said the one player on each NFL team that should be a household name that is not. I would get that, right?
Okay.
So like Justin Simmons, there's a lot of NFL fans that probably have no clue who he is. They probably have no clue who the safeties are for the Denver Broncos, yet alone do they know specifically who 31 is, right? That there's hardcore football fans and there's average football fans. I highly doubt that average football fans sitting in New Orleans, sitting in Detroit, have any clue. Maybe they know Justin Simmons' name, but they have no clue the impact that he's had on this franchise.
I think to some extent, and I'm going to put myself in this category, we all maybe underrate him as well. I mean, I remember when he was, you know, continually getting the franchise tag, and should they give him a big, big contract?
You and Stokely did.
Me and Stoke.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I saying, don't put all of us in that category.
I know.
I was saying pay the man, but you definitely could be in that category. You and Stoke were like, oh, don't want to
sure.
pay him.
For
don't
sure.
pay Justin.
And I'm not so sure that was a wrong stance. We'll see as time goes on, but the argument was, hey, I'm not even sure he's the most impactful safety on the roster, right? Like, he's the most consistent week after week, but at the time, Kareem Jackson, you could come up with the game down in Houston, the game out in L.A. against the Chargers, where if Kareem Jackson doesn't play, they lose. You could come up with the game against the Jaguars where Kareem Jackson didn't play, and Leonard Fournette ran for 200-plus yards, and they couldn't beat the Jags at home. You didn't have those examples when it came to Justin Simmons, because he's just sort of was the guy that was like Mr. Consistent in there every week. I think we probably underrate him a little bit. And again, I'm putting myself maybe at the, not at the top of the list, but on that list.
Yeah. So this is definitely not a shot at Kareem Jackson. I'm a huge fan of Kareem Jackson. I loved the re-signing. He's not the player that he once was, but I absolutely love Kareem Jackson. And it's not even a shot at guys like you or anybody else who say that Kareem Jackson is more impactful than Justin Simmons. But he's more impactful to the untrained eye. And I don't mean to say that as a shot towards you, but what I'm saying is that it's easy to feel the impact of Kareem Jackson because he's a thumper. He's a hitter, you know? When he comes down to the box and he makes a play, you're going to know, and he's going to yap about it, and he's going to find himself on TV, and you're going to see the aftermath. You're going to feel the effects of a big Kareem Jackson play. Justin Simmons, you got to be a little bit more focused. You got to be paying attention to how he went from one hash to the other, how he shut down one side of the field, how he closed, he bit on a play action, but he recovered. It's stuff that it takes a little bit more of a refined eye to look at it and to totally respect the game that Justin Simmons has. Whereas Kareem, hey, everybody and their mother can feel when Kareem Jackson makes a big play.
Did you just get a jump start on No Offense Friday?
Maybe. What did I do? Was it a you?
The untrained eye?
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, you know.
I was definitely a shot at you, for sure.
I've got Chad Brown and Nate Jackson calling my Nuggets should go big against the Warriors. That take is, the word they used was amateur. Grizzlies were up by 50-something last night going big, and they're still alive against the Warriors.
Oh, look at you.
I don't know. One coach was creative and said, hey, we don't have Ja Morant. I guess I better, you know, try some things versus, hey, we don't have Ja Morant. We better just, you know, wave the white towel and move on to next year. So no offense.
All right, most underrated.
No offense Friday.
Most underrated. No offense Friday. I like it. Most underrated guy on the Denver Broncos. First guy that pops up in my mind would be Tim Patrick. Now, it's hard to even say that he's underrated anymore. I mean, he just got paid. He didn't get a huge deal, and especially in terms of wide receiver money today. It's a really small deal in comparison to what guys are getting. But, you know, his team does value him. His team, matter of fact, they gave him a contract before they gave Cortland Sutton a contract. I think he's valued by his football team. But I would say when I think of underrated, I think of guys that outperformed where they came into the league. Undrafted guy that came in here. He was supposed to be a camp body, and he's turned into not only a huge part of this team, well, he's the second highest paid wide receiver on the team right now. Tim Patrick would be an example. I don't know if you have anybody else, but that would be the first one that would pop up in my mind.
Yeah, and he's definitely, you know, depending again what the definition is, if you went around the country, are there a lot of people who know who Tim Patrick is? Well, maybe if you play fantasy football and you're in a 16-team league and you have to go deep,
yeah,
maybe. But your general casual fan probably doesn't. I think he has a really good chance. If you made me bet what receiver from this team was going to be a Pro Bowler this year, I think I'd pick Tim Patrick. Mm. Because I think he's going to turn into sort of that whoopee, that security blanket for Russell Wilson.
I said the same thing. I'm with you on that one.
Because they don't really have a tight end that's necessarily going to fill that role. So I think he's going to do it in a lot of different situations. Hey, when you need to move the sticks, I think Tim Patrick's going to be the guy he's looking for. So I think that's a good one. I think underappreciated here in town, I would say Brandon McManus. Because, man, I think people forget what it's like to have a bad kicker.
Oh, I like that one.
And when you got a bad kicker and you lose some games because a guy misses makeable kicks, you know, at the gun, that can derail a good season. And, you know, they haven't had meaningful kicks at the gun in a while. But, boy,
why don't you just say his name?
That's his position.
Who are you talking to, right? Just say his name.
What's that? Meaningful kicks at the gun?
No, that Kevin Kistler hates Brandon McManus.
Oh. He's first and foremost.
Right.
Brandon McManus, if he had to make a 45-yarder to win at Seattle week one, we'd feel pretty good about it.
I'm feeling like we just won a football game.
Yeah, that's why I think he's underrated, certainly by Kevin Kistner and by other folks here in town. I don't think Justin Simmons qualifies, but no. I get where they were going in terms of, I like the way you put it, of should be a household name and isn't.
Yep.
Yeah, Justin Simmons would qualify for that. All right, some schedule leaks have come out. What are they? We'll talk about that at Football 4 coming up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.